Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to iWrite Network. This morning our chat is with Teresa Sneed, the author of No Angel. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Canada.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We'd like to start off this morning maybe just hearing just a little bit about you, just anything personal you'd like to tell us.
You bet. Well, I guess probably the most important thing that I'd want my listeners to know, my readers to know, is that alongside being a writer, I'm also very much a wife and a mother. I'm very happily married to the most wonderful man in the world. We're coming up on our 34th wedding anniversary. We have 6 children and 4 grandchildren. That's a real important part of my life. Other than that, I have a degree in education. I taught elementary school for 12 years. I substitute teach now, but I've dedicated my life more to the writing now than anything else as far as a career is concerned.
So tell us a little bit about your book, No Angel.
No Angel. Well, No Angel is, I love No Angel. No Angel is a story about a spirit who, when he left mortality, he didn't have a good experience on Earth. So when he got to heaven, it's required of all post-mortal spirits to go back to Earth at least one time to be a guardian angel. Well, he didn't like Earth. He didn't want to go back. So on the Guardians Unlimited application, he lets everybody know that he is not interested. Just leave him alone. So for years, everybody leaves him alone until the beautiful Celeste Knight comes along and chooses him out of billions of possibilities to be her guardian angel on Earth. So now he has to go back. And it's a fun story. That's the overall theme of it, but it's just a great story. I wrote No Angel because I believe in angels, and I want my readers to know, a lot of people do believe in angels, and I just think it's a great topic.
That sounds fun. So tell us a little bit about your writing process. How did you come up with the idea, or how did you develop it?
Okay, the writing process... for No Angel. How did I develop it? Well, let me just kind of back up and say the writing process for No Angel is the same writing process that I use for any of the books that I've written. No Angel is like the 5th book that I've written. It's my first book published, though. And over the years, I have developed a writing process that works perfect for me. And so, like with No Angel, I had this idea that I wanted to write something that would show my belief system with believing that there was a heaven, because I didn't find out, isn't this strange, but at 19 years of age was the first time that I ever heard the concept that we came from heaven. I'm 19 years old, a freshman at USC in Los Angeles, and I hear the belief that there are people that believe that we came from heaven. It was incredible for me. It was a life-changing thing for me because everything clicked. It like made sense to me that I came from heaven, the same place that I was going to go back to. Now, I believed in heaven, but I never thought that I came from heaven. I just kind of thought I was created, and I'd live my life, and I'd die, and then I'd go to heaven. Not that I came from heaven, so that was a great thing for me. So I wanted to write a book because at 19 years of age, I didn't know I came from heaven. I wanted to write a book that had heaven as the backdrop, that we came from heaven, and we're going to go back to heaven, and that this experience that we have on Earth is like, it's incredibly important, but it's just like a tiny little speck in eternity, just like time placed in, time placed within eternity. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I wanted to write that, and so my process is that I took that one little idea that I wanted to have something that showed that, and because I do have a great belief in, that there have been a lot of people after they pass away, they go to heaven, and that we came from heaven. I believe in the spirit world. And so I wanted to write a story that showed the spirit world that's surrounding us that we can't see because it's the spirit world. And I think we kind of ignore that it's there, but it's really there. So my very first thing that I did was I just sat down and I started to think, okay, well, what could I do? I came up with this character, Jonathan Stewart, and I began to ask questions. Well, what if? And that's a really great tool to use in the writing process. What if my character was Jonathan Stewart? Actually, was not his name when he started out. His name was actually, you're gonna laugh, but his name was Edward Meyer. Okay. I know. My daughter said, Mom, you can't name him that. Okay, this is like 5 years ago. So this is like, you know, Stephanie Meyer had only written like the first book, and I hadn't read it. I had no clue. My daughter had read it. She said, Mom, you can't do that. And then she told me why. I said, okay. So I changed his name to Jonathan Stewart. And I asked the question, what if? So, if, you know, when you think about guardian angels, you've got this image of this perfected being and all that stuff. And I'm sure that that's the true image. But I thought, what if this guardian angel really was, didn't want to be one? What if he was actually kind of a nerd and kind of didn't want to be a guardian angel? And so I took that little thought process that I had, and I sat down, and I simply wrote my ideas out. I brainstormed. What if? So I ended up with about 4 pages of just notes. So from that process, I kind of knew where I was going to begin, and I knew where the story was going to end. You know, so like, I think that's an important part for me, is to begin with the end in mind. Know where I'm going to end up with my stories, and then all of my characters that I develop within the story, they kind of drive that story to that final end. When I begin writing, when I began writing No Angel, I just wrote. And I never go back to the very, very beginning to read. That's one of the things that I've learned, is that if you go back to the very beginning, you're really tempted to just keep rewriting and revising over and over and over again. We need to save that process until the end. Just write. I always go back to the day before and read that, so that I was really fresh in my mind, and, you know, I might tweak it a little bit right there, but I never go back to the very beginning. And so as I move forward, I've discovered this works really, really well for me. I have a small whiteboard. It's half whiteboard, half pegboard. And on the whiteboard side, I write down my main characters at the very top. And they're my point of view characters, who's telling the story from their point of view. And so when I start writing, I might start out with, you know, my main character, the scene that he's telling the story from. And when I'm done with that scene, I'll write like a sentence or two about what that was about and the page I left off on. And then I'll move on to the next scene. And so I keep updating as I go, so that when I get 5 or 6 chapters into the book and I know I need to come back to this one particular scene, I know exactly what page it is on and I know exactly what happened. It used to be that I'd get like forward to the book and go, oh my goodness, I know, okay, now where was that? And I'm going to shuffle all the way back through, try to find out, try to remember where it was that I left off at. So this little whiteboard thing works excellent for me. And the pegboard side, I use as I'm writing, I'll have other ideas come up. You know, like, oh, I should do this later on in the book. Oh, this, you know, the foreshadowing stuff. And so I'll write that down really quick on my post-its or on my little pieces of paper, and I tack them up on the other side so that I don't forget the inspiration that I'm receiving for my story. So that works really, really well for me. Let's see. Then once you get to the point where you're at the end of your book, okay, you go through that whole process. Now, I belong to AMWA, which is American Night Writers Association, which is a women's writing group, an LDS women writers group. I've been a member of that for 20-some years now, and that has been a great help for me, because we meet every month, and I get to bounce ideas off my sisters in my group, and it's just really a great thing. I highly recommend that writers, or, you know, whoever you are, that you find somebody that you can bounce your ideas off on, and that you can, you know, read things to, and they can kind of help you back and forth and give you ideas. Now, on the flip side of that, you may not want to do that at all. I've heard that Stephen King says, don't do that. write the whole thing, because this is kind of true. I mean, if you're not a strong person, your storyline could be dictated by somebody else, you know, and you don't want to do that either. You want to, you know, make sure that you're true to what your story is going to be. So that's kind of like two things that you could think of in that realm. After you finish writing your wonderful story, then what I do is I revise. Then I go back to the very beginning and I start chopping away and fixing, and it's a long process to go through that, but you have to go through that. But that's not the only time that you'll be revising the book. Once I go through that process of revising and editing on my own, then I send it out to beta readers. And I've got about 4 or 5 real faithful beta readers that love reading my stuff, and I've come to know that I can trust them. You don't want your best friend or your mom to read your stuff unless they're going to be really critical, because, you know, they're going to always tell you how great it is. You want people that they still love you and everything, your friends or people that you've met, but you want somebody that's going to take an objective look and say, this is this and that is that. With the second book that I have coming out, I'm actually working on the final edit right now with my editor. It's called From Heaven to Earth. And I love, love, love this story. But I had a beta reader. I had four or five beta readers. And one of the beta readers is serving a mission right now in Chile. And he was a beta reader for No Angel. And right before he went on his mission, he read No Angel, he read From Heaven to Earth, and he wrote me back, and he said, he was very kind, he said, you know, I wish that you had written the scene, the word heaven scene. I wish it had more in it. Okay, so I listened to what he said, and, you know, the word heaven, how do you write the word heaven? Okay, this is how I have first did it, really quick, like a couple paragraphs. I mean, it's painful to write about the word heaven. It's such a difficult thing to imagine. So what I did was I went to my friends on Facebook, which I love to do Facebook. I threw out the question, what do you think about the word heaven? What was it? And oh, my goodness, I got tons and tons of responses. Was it a war of words? Was it a war with weapons? And it was really fascinating. Then I delved into some historical books on the word heaven, and I used the scriptures, and I used modern revelation. And I had one of those threefold boards, and I cut and pasted literally with scissors, cut and pasted things, and tacked it up on that, because I'm a very visual person. I had categories on this, on different things that happened in heaven. And so I had all of this stuff that I was going by, and I rewrote that scene, probably 3 or 4 pages of it, and it just really developed the story. It really, like, opened it up. So that part of the writing process is extremely important. You have to have a fresh set of eyes look at your work, and you have to have somebody that you trust is going to be honest with you. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. You want your beta readers to be able to look for the obvious things like misspellings and stuff like that. But for me, my beta readers know the biggest thing I want them to look for is, does the story flow? Where does it take you out of the story? What kind of jars you out? What did you really like about it? What would you, like in Jared's case, what would you like to see or read about more? What would you like to see more? And so beta readers. And then after your beta readers, this is really, really important. When your beta readers send back their critique of your book, you gotta really take a real close look at what they say. You don't have to accept everything that they say, but you have to really look at that and go, okay. You have to be willing to kind of readjust and, you know, or whatever, and really, really take it very seriously. Don't bypass that step. Now, after your beta readers are done and after you receive all the stuff back, then you have to revise and edit again. You have to go through again. You have to make sure that your manuscript is polished the best that you can possibly do with it before you send it out anywhere. In my case, I have an editor now. I publish with Walnut Springs, a small publishing company in Salt Lake. But Even so, it's not a privilege that I have. I can lose that privilege if I start sending manuscripts that are not, you know, completely prepared. They have to be prepared. So when I don't even send it off to my editor until after I've gone through the whole process and I feel it's the best it can possibly be. I didn't do that with No Angel. I didn't use beta readers. I did and I didn't. I really, you know, I kind of was really sloppy with it. I thought it was a great story, this and that and everything. I learned the hard way through my editor that I needed to have it a little bit more polished. So that's kind of a great bit of advice that I can give to aspiring writers and writers is that just make sure. We have now, the technology we have today is incredible. Anybody and their grandmother can publish something. You truly can. That's really a good thing. It's a good thing. But it can be a bad thing, too. If you want to have more than just your family and friends read your stuff, you really, really got to watch the quality of stuff that you self-publish. If you go the self-publishing route, and there are a lot of really successful people that go the self-publishing route, I mean, that's not a bad way to do it. But before you do that, you've got to go through all this process, and you've got to make sure that your manuscript is perfect. And so if you don't have an editor, you need to hire an editor, a professional editor. And, you know, I don't know what they charge now, $300-$400, I don't know. But whatever it is, you've got to do that. And not somebody that you know, that just likes to read, but somebody that really is a professional editor. Look at the stuff that they publish themselves. If you like what they publish, then you're going to like them as an editor. I love my editor. Her name is Linda Molinol, and she's fabulous. What we're working on right now with From Heaven to Earth, she continuously amazes me with the way she'll look at a sentence that I wrote, and she'll go, she'll just change the order of the words, or just a different word, and I'm going, oh my goodness, that's totally perfect. And I love my editor because she allows me to keep my voice. She doesn't change anything, any of my storyline at all. But she will find the little things here that kind of tighten the sentences up. You know what I mean?
Right. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Kind of back when you were talking about your bulletin board and keeping your notes for each of your scenes as you're working through it, you mentioned that when you get to the end of putting all of that together and you kind of have your first draft done, and you said you go back through and you revise before you send it to beta editors.
I do.
What are some of the things you're looking for in that first revision?
Oh, in the first revision, when I go back from to the very beginning, that's when I'm going to be looking for, you know, conventions. I'm going to be looking for, do I have my commas? Do I have my punctuation? Do I have my, do I have spelling correct? You're going to look for all of those things. When you're doing your rough draft, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to publish it then. Don't worry about it. Just write it. But when you go back, you certainly, after you've gone through the whole process and you're going back and revising, you want to certainly look for spelling and for grammar and for all of that stuff. And for me, when I go back and I revise, I'm looking for a better way to tell something, too. You know, because you're getting the story down. Like now, when I go back, I will rewrite parts of my scenes to make sure that the story is more exciting or flows better or makes more sense. That's when you can really, really, really add some depth to your story.
Great. I'm sorry, I was taking notes really fast.
Yeah, I love it. It's a real exciting thing for me. I've been on this journey now for many years. And, I guess one of the things that I really, really would like aspiring writers to know is that, oh my goodness, if you really have a desire to write, you are 90% there. You truly are. I mean, writing, if you're given a desire to write, you probably have been given that gift back from God. So, oh my goodness, if you want to write, just develop the talent. I don't know a single person that was born with a silver pencil in their hand. No, this is something that you have to develop. You have to develop. You have to be willing to develop it. And that's why there are so few authors in the world. because writing is time consuming, and you have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing, and the quality of your product will depend on how much time you are willing to put into it.
What are some of the things you've done to develop your talent or to learn about writing?
Oh, well, let's see. I have my work in progress right now. Well, once I get done with the edits for From Heaven to Earth, my work in progress is called Sons of Elderberry. It's a totally different story. It has a whole different thing. It's about fairies and wizards, and it's a fun, fun book. But I wrote this book, about 5 years ago, I guess. And I remember, I belong to ANWA, which is an LDS women writers group, and I remember going and meeting with my, in my chapter, and reading from what I was working on right then, and, you know, going with the attitude of, this is so wonderful, you are going to love this, and sitting down and them going, ew, this is not, and this is, and this is that, and you're going, and then you're going, I remember thinking, leading the meeting going, I can't write, I can't do this, this is so bad, and just being, you know, kind of discouraged. And I also remember leaving sometimes from meetings going, well, what an anal. Well, I like this. So part of my developing to be a published author right now is recognizing the value of other people's opinions. Accepting that, because it's true. Another set of eyes will see things. You know, if you want to write something just for you, yay. But you're writing probably because you want other people to read it. So what other people think has to be really important to you. So what a valuable tool it is to belong to a critique group that can say, well, I don't know. Because if they're saying, well, I don't know, you better listen to that, because probably 500 other people are going to say the same thing. So I guess for me, part of my writing process was actually using the tools I had in front of me. And so once I decided that it was important for me to actually, you know, listen to what other people were saying, it became a very useful tool for me.
That's really great advice. I think so often, you know, we seek readers for what we're writing, but not necessarily do we always seek them to know that, you know, we need to believe that they've really had that reaction to our story. You know, sometimes
uh-huh.
that's the piece that's missing, and that's really
uh-huh.
good advice to take that so seriously. We appreciate your meeting with us this morning and giving us these hints and these ideas, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate just hearing the part about getting reaction from readers. And I think that's a really good next step for a lot of us that are writing and thinking about that we want to make this, you know, really serious and keep going with it. I just lost my notes again. So we'll look forward, though. We'll look forward to seeing From Heaven to Earth. And do you have a date for when that's coming out?
Well, actually, like I said, we're in the very final stages right now. I did the first round of edits with my editor. I finished those yesterday. I have a second round sitting in front of me right now that I'm working on over this weekend, and then she's giving me another round on Monday. What that means is that she sends me parts of my manuscript back, and she has it all marked up, and then this is kind of a really cool process, too, because when she sends it back, what they require, and I'm sure it's pretty similar in all of the publishing companies, is to accept all of their changes first. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to, that's going to be the final product, but by accepting it all first, now you have a clean thing that you can work on. And so then I pull up another file of the same thing, and I look very carefully at everything that she's corrected to make sure that my voice is protected. I really, it's important, I think, for me to protect my voice and my writing. I want to make sure that that's following true. And she never does. My editor's perfect. She's never, ever changed any of my storyline. So I just kind of look at what she does. And that takes a long, long, long process to go through that. And then I make more, and then on that one that I have accepted, then I go through and I make changes myself from what she's done and from what I noticed myself. And this is why you want to make sure that your manuscript is pretty much perfect, because when you get that back, you don't want to be making, 50, 60 changes. You don't want to do that. You'll make your editor insane. They want to be minimal things that you discover. From heaven to earth is in the final process, and she said that it will be ready for publication. It will go to press, and that it will be out in time for LDS Storymakers, which is a big, huge writing convention up in some Provo, Utah this year, and that's like May the 4th. So she's a remarkable editor, and she will really work very hard to get this done. So I would say the 1st of May this will be out, and then we'll just have fun with it and see what goes with it. But I did want to tell you too, I'm sure you might want to ask me this, but I do have a website. My website is really simple. It's just teresasneed.com. Everything about my books is on there. You can find out everything about my books, the books I'm working on right now. I have links to blogs that talk about the books that I have. I have two or three books right now that are already completed. They will be coming out eventually. So anyhow, I have that at teresasneed.com. And then Betsy Love and I have started this brand new venture where we're doing podcasting. So this is so fun for me to be doing this with you, because I'm going to be picking your brain about how you do this, because we launched our podcast just last week.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and it's all on writing. It's a writer podcast. It's called Sweet Peas and a Writer Podcast. And we have a blog for that, Sweet Peas and a Writer Podcast .blogspot.com, or you can just go to teresasneed.com and you'll see the link there. And I actually have the first launch is at my website too, so you can click on it and listeners can listen to Betsy and I talk about our writing experiences. We have so much fun, Kathy, doing this. It's just so much fun.
That sounds awesome. And good ideas probably coming from both of you. That's great. Thanks for doing that. Okay, well, we need to sign off for today. We appreciate our listeners for dropping in, and we appreciate Teresa Sneed for talking with us today and sharing her ideas with us. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye, guys.
Bye.